From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you, and thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. Today we'll be commencing a brief series of messages that will, the Lord willing, stretch over the next few weeks on themes in Titus. In our studies this week, we'll consider the subject of the faith of God's elect. The faith of God's elect. An important subject. I trust that you'll stay with us as we look into God's Word. First, however, it's time for our daily devotional Bible study and thought for the day. Our daily devotional for today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. The subject is the race of faith. Paul said, "So run that ye may obtain." Paul learned his style of preaching from one he had never heard in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus constantly used earthly illustrations to convey divine truth, with the effect of powerfully focusing the hearer's attention and aiding his retention. Paul likewise used ordinary things to carry great spiritual truths, and on several occasions used even the sporting arena to present some practical truth to his hearers. In the illustration before us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he likens the Christian life to a race. Elsewhere, he presents Jesus as the starting line and the finishing point, and encourages his listeners to lay aside every weight so that they may finish their course with joy. Here he gives further guidance as to how they should run the race. In an earthly race, there may be many competitors, but only one winner. Often athletes, while they would like to win, are content just to place well. In other words, they have not really put their all into the task of winning. Paul warns the Christian to serve Christ with such a dedication that the "well done" from the Savior's lips is his primary objective. The one who will thus succeed must be, according to 1 Corinthians 9:25, temperate in all things. All his energies will be brought into subjection to the one great aim of serving and exalting Christ. He will not run the race uncertainly. He will start well, and his eye will be on the finishing line. People will know that he is an out-and-out Christian. He will finish well. In the battle for truth, he will not be, quotes, "as one that beateth the air," as Paul says in verse 26. All action, but with little or no forward movement. The true athlete has an economy and efficiency of movement so that all his power is channeled toward winning the race. May the Lord help us not to spin our wheels or beat the air, producing lots of noise, lots of action, but at the end of the day, achieving little for the Lord. And our thought for the day is, if you fall, don't give up. Get up.
Where am I?
Here at Let the Bible Speak, we try to make available to you some resources that we hope will better equip you to stand for the Lord and serve Him. Many of you are well aware of the materials that we try to keep constantly available. At times, however, there are special offers that we think you should hear about, and I want to make a very important resource available to you today. Recently, the World Council of Churches, that is a body that exists to promote one world church, is a very apostate body, but it operates under the name of Christianity. It held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil, and the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a Bible-believing association of separated churches, the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Ralph Colas, was in Brazil to report on the World Council of Churches meeting. His report makes startling reading as he lifts the veil from the utter apostasy of the ecumenical movement. We would like you to receive Dr. Colas's report. And so we ask you to write, call, or email and let us know that you'd like to have it, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sending you Dr. Colas's expose of the apostasy of the World Council of Churches.
Children of the Heavenly King may speak their joys abroad. The hill of Zion lifts a thousand sacred streets before we reach the heavenly fields.
Now this evening we're turning to the New Testament, to the book of Titus. The book of Titus. Chapter 1. I hope that you'll remember that, especially as we are still in the summertime, that Wednesday night we need to have every available Christian here as we come to pray. And really, let's give ourselves to prayer and to supplication. One of the things that Clark of Session was telling me was of the first mission that they held when that church was formed. It was formed actually as the result of 40 people coming to Christ in that mission. And he said there were times when the old tent was filled with people and the sides would be rolled up to let some air circulate. And the
A lot of people couldn't get in. And then the preacher himself told me the same thing, that when he looked out, there along the hedgerow, there were men on their knees crying to God and pleading with God to move. And God answered prayer. He's still the same. We need to give ourselves to prayer. And I trust that Wednesday night will be for us all a great prayer meeting. But let's start now as we read in Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Saviour. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Saviour. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Tonight we're going to be looking at a text in the very first verse of this chapter, where Paul describes himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. The text tonight specifically is going to be that phrase, the faith of God's elect. The apostle had often chosen Titus, who was probably yet a young man and one of his esteemed helpers. He had chosen him for difficult missions. You may recollect that it was Titus whom Paul sent to Corinth when that church was riven with division, when immorality was rampant, and great sin was wreaking havoc in the church. Titus went as Paul's personal messenger, and he met with spectacular success for his ministry in Corinth. Similarly here, in Crete, on the island of Crete, where there was obviously a number of churches, the apostle sent, or should I say left, for he had been there with him and then moved on, left Titus to oversee the works that were recently established And when he did so, I think he placed him in an even more difficult and challenging situation than in Corinth. The churches in Crete were very young, and they were facing enormous pressures. Cretan society was particularly vulgar and particularly vicious, even by the standards of the heathen world. The evil practices of the ungodly, unfortunately, were invading the church. There's nothing very new in this. You look at the churches today and you find very much the same thing. So often churches are like sponges, and they start soaking in the influences, the attitudes, and even the activities that are going on all around about them. And that certainly seemed to be happening in the churches in Crete, among these people so lately saved out of this wicked lifestyle. So Paul left Titus there in order that he would call them to truth. Paul was concerned that as these young Christians lived in the midst of an ungodly society, amidst debauchery and wickedness of unmentionable proportions, they should be able to rise above it, and they should be able to live out the beauty of the gospel in vital personal holiness. That was a major concern. Can I say that that is still a major concern for every godly preacher? It is the concern of the New Testament. You could encapsulate the whole message of the New Testament, indeed, in this kind of language, that it's written in order that we who are living in a debauched and depraved world would rise above the society in which we're living, we'd rise above the age in which we're living, we'd transcend the spirit of the age, and we would be so consumed with the gospel that we would live out the beauty of the gospel in personal, vital holiness. Caring nothing. It's easy to say that. It's a difficult thing actually to live by it. But caring nothing for this world or the things of this world or what the world would think or say or do. When God's people live that way, they reach great heights of spiritual attainment and spiritual power in the world. That's the story of the Christian martyrs. That's where they had reached. They didn't care anything for what men thought or said or did. They simply lived out the gospel. And Paul was concerned that these new Christians in Crete would do the same thing. He had another reason to be concerned. There was the debauchery from the outside, but then he realized that there were evil influences infecting the church from the inside. There were false prophets. There were people of the circumcision, Jews who professed Christianity. But their profession, obviously, as we read at the end of the chapter, was a lie. It was belied by their action. They were preaching fables and philosophies instead of the truth of God. They were coming along with whatever stories or whatever that would be easily received. They commended themselves by easy words. They were corrupting the church. And the whole result of this was to pull down the standards of the people. These were the kind of people that Paul denounced in Romans 6 and 1. They were able to say, we continue in sin that grace may abound. We're saved by grace. And we can do what we like. As so many people have said, a Christian can do anything but go to hell. And that's the devil's lie. That is an absolute lie of the devil. There are certain things that a Christian cannot do. You read the first epistle of John. A very difficult epistle in many ways. But when it says he cannot sin, I think that the majority of commentators are right when they say there's an emphasis on the practice, the willful, deliberate, ongoing practice of sin. There's no, none of us has yet reached glorification, as none of us has yet reached perfection. But there is a difference between a godly Christian feeling to reach perfection and a lying hypocrite like a sow wallowing in the mire of a sin, or like a dog returning to its vomit. There's a vast difference. So there are things that a Christian cannot do, and people who do them testify that they are not Christians at all. But these were people corrupting and infecting the church from the inside. Now, if you get the picture, here's a church of young Christians. It's being attacked from the outside. There's a lot of talk today about culture. I hate that word. Not in the sense that it used to be employed of teaching people culture. Bob Jones Sr. always wanted to bring people to his school that they would not only learn the three R's, etc., but they would learn some culture and better music and better literature. And not talking about that. But we live in a day when the word culture is in everybody's lips. You know, the word culture comes from the Latin word that simply means worship. The culture of any nation at any given time is an expression of the religious standards of that day. It is an expression of where they stand in worship and what they worship. Never forget that. Talk today as if all culture were acceptable. Doesn't matter whether it's heathen, pagan, or Christian. Well, the Christian's not so acceptable in this day and age. But get a picture of what the world would call culture. The culture of Cretan society was absolutely vile and filthy. It was an expression of the religious worship that was so practiced in the nation. And these people were under that pressure. They'd just been saved out of it. And then there are these evil teachers coming in and corrupting them and leading them on into sin. Paul says to Titus, now you get there and supply the things that are wanting. Make up the things that are lacking. Find men. Do you see this? I'm not going to be preaching in this tonight. But can you see this? In the midst of that vile and filthy situation, there are men, blameless, the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not given to filthy lucre, blameless, the husbands of one wife, with faithful children and well-run families. There were such men. You see, it's possible to live for God and live in holiness and transcend the wickedness of any age. There is no excuse for a Christian living out his life in defeat and living out his life in sin. There is no excuse whatsoever. Paul is looking at the vilest society that you can think about, and he says, fight men like this and ordain them as bishops or elders in the church.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.